Thank you for tuning in to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, all things Bucks, all kinds of different things NFL. It's the custodian of Canton himself, Tampa Bay's only Hall of Fame voter, on his twice-weekly podcasts every Tuesday and Thursday. And, of course, the podcasts do not exist. We are not here if it's not for Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse is challenging all other dealers to give you the lowest prices of the summer. Over at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, General Manager Brian Danahy is knocking out the competition during the Ed Morse Summer Sales Challenge. Right now, take advantage of the summer's best offers like the iconic 2017 CTS sedan lease for just $409. Get the best prices of the summer at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorsecadillactampa.com. See dealer for all the details, every last one of them. And don't forget Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com is the place to start your car shopping search. The Summer Sales Challenge is still going strong there. General Manager Mark Walmsley also is knocking out the other dealers with low prices on new Cadillacs. Get a 2017 ATS $349 a month or a 2017 XT5 $389 a month. The Summer Sales Challenge is on. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. See dealer for all the details. And we'll talk more about Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. But we appreciate them and we appreciate you. And without further ado, let's head over to the podcast and Mr. Ira Kaufman. Ira Kaufman is here in the house. Here he is. Fantastic offers there from Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Ira. But before we talk more about them, which we will later, of course, this is a surprise for you. Lee and I'm Steve Isbitz, Lee DeCamper. We're JoeBucksFan.com. And we're surprising you with this because you don't know what's coming, Ira. You do not know what's coming. We're here at Abe's Place, of course, and they're not bringing you a cake. Maybe they should.
I know we're 1 week away from reporting day. That's what I do know.
You know we're a week away from reporting. You know we're here for our summer podcast taping. But Ira, on Saturday is your one-year anniversary at JoeBucksFan.com. So this is going to be the anniversary edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. 1 year of the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, spreading his sage wisdom across multiple platforms.
I'm surprised the Kemper hasn't set it up, so I'm going to hear from Javier in Panama and all kinds of people all over the globe.
Well, here we go. You know, Javier always has questions for you on your podcast, Ira, and he's not the only one. So Rock Riley, you know, Mr. Video, Mr. JoeBucksFan.com Video, why are you so popular?
Steve, I'm probably not the right guy to answer that, and certainly my wife isn't the right person to answer that because she'd be laughing hysterically at the very thought of it.
At your popularity? But, that's funny.
Well,
you're the sage.
I'm going to be serious for a minute, and I think part of it, I really do think part of it is don't take yourself so seriously, and I think I'm good at it. don't think you're always right, that there's no room for any other alternative voice. Lee, nobody likes somebody that grates on you, that thinks they're always so sure of themselves. You know, I've made my share of mistakes over the years, and you guys worked at newspapers. You know the desk always bails you out. Sometimes they put a mistake in, Lee. But for every mistake they put in,
they save you
10 times. So, Steve, I'm a happy person, generally speaking, although 2016, for various reasons, was a tough year. It was a tough year. But one of the highlights of the year was coming aboard to a growing concern like this. Guys, I'm one of the few people that remember when you guys were starting out, and nobody took you seriously. I don't think I'm breaking any news here.
No.
Certainly the media didn't, the mainstream media.
Some of them still don't.
Buck hierarchy didn't.
No, Alan hated us.
And, Steve, you're scratching to try to get a credential. I mean, that's job one all, you know, back then. And now, you know, we don't need any more proof about who's reading us and what's considered the go-to site for Buck News. So why am I so popular? I think because, you know, and we talked about this.
We did?
When did we talk about this?
No, because I think the readers and the listeners know that I care about their opinions. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid to press the flesh. And that's not just when I joined Joe Buck's fan. Mm-hmm. I used to do it every year. I told you guys this when I worked for the Trib. First day of training camp. It was a must. Go out there and chat up with people you don't know, introduce yourself, and it's funny how so many of them was from Pasco County. That was amazing to me. Or Hernando County, you know, Spring Hill. And find out what their expectations were for the team, what they thought of the offseason. And I'll say it again, a lot of people in that media room would be caught dead talking to fans, and I still don't understand that, and I think that goes a long way in breaking down barriers. So, Steve, I'll let you take a crack at it.
Why are you so popular?
Why am I popular?
I don't think it's really for the reasons you mentioned at all, Ira. I just think you're entertaining. You're interesting. Ding. You've got something to say. You've got to say it with flair. You say it with pizzazz.
It's not the voice, right, Steve? It's not the Brooklyn voice. That can't be part of it.
The Brooklyn voice, it adds to your flavor, but, you know, you could insert another accent. You know, maybe there's somewhere out there, there's a French-Canadian Ira Kaufman.
Next
somewhere.
Week, I'm going to be Scandinavian. Like, just to change
but
up.
No, in all seriousness, Ira, you're entertaining. You're engaging. And you're,
informative.
You're honest. You're informative. You got the sources, so you got the cred to back it up. And that's why you're so popular, because you got the package. But as far as, you know, not thinking you're so great, and this, I don't think people care about that. I think they just love how entertaining you are. And they'd probably be the first to tell you, Ira, you're the custodian of Canton. You are great. You can know it.
Now, guys, let's get me back down to earth, and I know the way to do it. Lee, this happened in 2008. Were you guys around in 08 as Joe
just
Bucks
started,
fan?
Just started.
All right.
First what time of year.
All right, this is going to get me back down to earth. I've been doing this. I've been in this business for 40 years, not 80, according to Isbeth. It's 40. And the worst day that I had in
was when Bobby
years
Lane told you to take I.
Was the Brett Favre saga. The Brett Favre sure. saga. And I might as well tell that story. I might as well
lay it out, Kaufman. It's a great one.
All right. I believe it was a Monday. It was during training camp in Orlando, Lee. This is the 08 season. The Bucks had won the division title in 07. They lost to the Giants. Nobody knew the Giants were going to end up winning and beating the Pats in the Super Bowl. The Giants turned out to be a heck of a team. But that first game against the Giants was a home game. And I'm not sure the Bucks weren't favored in that game.
May have been.
They started great. Anyway, that's the 07 season.
So but they acted like they never showed up.
Yeah, here we are in 08. It turned out to be Gruden's last year. We didn't know that. And so it was a Monday night, and I got word, and the rumors were flying about Favre because he was leaving Green Bay. Mm-hmm. It was obvious. They were going with Rodgers. Turned out to be the right move. Ted Thompson was taking a beating in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. A beating. McCarthy, a beating. Mm-hmm. But they stood firm. Sometimes you got to stand firm. Mm-hmm. And I got wind that the Bucks were in the middle of all the discussions. In fact, I thought I got wind that they were the lead dog. And when I say I heard it from as good a source as you can, I'm going to say it again. As good a source as you can.
Gotcha.
That there was a conversation that very night, mm-hmm. on a Monday night, between Gruden, Brett Favre, and then Gruden talked to Favre's wife. And at the end of those discussions, it was a wrap. Favre was coming to the Bucks. Gruden wanted him. Favre's wife was on board. So what did I do? I wrote it. Everybody, and you know I'm right, everybody picked it up. Everybody. ESPN, Fox, CBS.
You name it.
You name it. And certainly the locals. And my name was on that story. Some people didn't were worried about it. They knew the source, but they're still worried about it because it's, it's a story that's in flux. Well, Tuesday came and went. No news. No news. No developments. And I remember, you know, all these other media people. Chris Harry was from Orlando. Boy, you're hanging out there on quite a big limb over there, Kaufman. I know, Chris. Other people were upset that I might get a scoop, and a hell of a scoop. Well, Tuesday night they had some kind of a fish fry or some kind of media event. Some kind of media. Again, food. Again. A media event.
The Bucks did?
Yeah, no, at Disney, at Wild World of Sports.
Okay.
So Disney sponsored it. So I went there.
Fish fry. Very Midwestern.
And so, you know, and Chris Harry, you know, in his inimitable way comes by.
inimitable way.
Favre's not a Buck yet, Ira. Favre's not a Buck. Well, flash forward to Wednesday. My story came out in Tuesday's paper. Now it's Wednesday. We go through training camp. You know, Gruden's trying to downplay our interest. I don't even know. We didn't talk. Bruce Allen hasn't talked to Ted Thompson. You know, we're dipping a toe in the water. You know what he's saying.
Meanwhile, Jeff Garcia's swinging in the wind.
Yeah, so
he's lying through his teeth. Gruden's lying through his teeth.
Absolutely. Okay. And Garcia's saying, you know, I feel like a dead man walking. I think that was the quote from Garcia.
Wow.
So now it's Wednesday night. Here we go. We have dinner. We rent a house. The Trib rented a house. So they had, you know, 3-4 writers, photographer. Anwar Richardson was there. Roy, mm-hmm. Martin Fennelly, photographer. And we get back, and now it's about 11 o'clock at night. I'm in my bedroom. I'm watching a Seinfeld rerun. It might have been about the one that, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. Yeah, it might have been that one. So anyway, you know, remember when the girl thinks?
Yeah. So you're 36 hours hanging on the meat hook.
Hanging out, you know, quite a limo.
You've already reported that Brett Favre, a trade will be happening. He's coming to the Bucs.
Yeah, I say the chances. I said the chances of the trade unraveling are remote.
Ooh.
That was one of my lines. Remote. I didn't say it was a done deal, but you know, the Bucs are clearly in the driver's
seat. Sure.
Now, while I'm watching Seinfeld and Costanza's running around like a nut from the far reaches of the living room, what do I hear? Kaufman, you better get out here. It didn't sound good. I didn't like it. I lowered the volume on the TV, and I opened the bedroom door, and I walked out in the living room. All I see are Cummings, Fennelly, and Richardson. Again, the unholy trio. Oh. I'll throw it out there again, DeKemper. They're all sitting in chairs in front of the big screen. And they're all pointing to the screen. And what do I see? I see the crawl. The crawl says, according to Jay Glazer.
Uh-oh.
I'll never forget it. Not Malcolm Glazer. Jay Glazer. Favre has reached agreement. You know, the Packers have reached agreement with the New York Jets on a deal for Brett Favre. Now, I'm standing there. What else am I going to say? I turn to my three guys and I go, well, maybe Glazer's wrong. He's never wrong, by the way.
Sure.
Glazer's got the best batting average in the world. He doesn't break a lot, but when he breaks it, he's always right.
Yeah.
Because he's got the sources.
Yeah.
You know. And.
But just FYI.
Yeah.
Jay Glazer, not Brian or Joel or
this
Ed.
This is Jay Glazer. So we change the channel, and I see another crawl. ESPN has confirmed Jay Glazer's report for Fox Sports that the Jets have signed Brett Favre.
So what'd you do?
What did I do? I crawled back. I put the pillows over me. I think I might have called my wife.
Smother me, Roy. Smother
me. I called my wife for a little sympathy. And now I'm not finished yet. Here's the capper. The next day, Thursday morning. Now I got to face the music, gentlemen. You guys know what the Disney parking lot was like. And I pull in. And just then, it's about 8 o'clock in the morning. I know I'm facing a brutal day. It's going to be brutal. And Chris Harry happens to pull in a few spots away from me at about the same time. He gets out of his car, and he stands in the middle of an aisle with his feet spread apart, his arms folded, like he's Maximus from the Gladiator over there, waiting for the lion to attack. I get out of my car. I grab my work bag. I sling it over my shoulder. I close the door, and I start taking two steps, and Chris Harry... I'll never, you know, certain lines you never forget.
Sure.
Kaufman, turn around, go back in your vehicle, and go back to the house. You don't want any of what you're going to get today, because they're all waiting for you up in the media room. I go, Chris, I'm a professional. I take whatever dishes out. I go up there. I take my beating. You guys were gentle on me because that's because you guys weren't making any money at the time, you know. And I got it wrong. But I'll say it again. When I pushed that button at 11 o'clock on Monday night, that story was right. But it didn't happen. So like Dirk Cutter, I'm going to take responsibility for my broken down offense. I missed one.
I got something here for you.
But I was told, hold on, last thing. I was told by people in the Buck organization, important people that know what the heck's going on. Later on, Kaufman, that story was right. That story was correct. We were told to set up a press conference for later that week, and it didn't happen. My mistake, Lee, was the Bucs didn't control the situation. Ted Thompson did. The Jets swooped in. I don't know if Bruce Allen ever made an offer, but I know Gruden wanted Favre. The Glazers wanted Favre, and it didn't happen. And my name was on that story, so I took a beating. And it happens.
Well, hopefully this makes you feel better. One of the first stories we had, literally one of the first stories we had on JoeBucksFan.com, there was a small paper of Sheboygan or something or other that interviewed the pilot who was supposed to fly Favre and his missus to Tampa. They were in the air, don't know where they were going, back and forth to Mississippi, I don't know. But the pilot overheard the conversation between Favre's wife, Bruce Allen and Chucky, and they were celebrating their new home, Tampa Bay.
That makes me feel a little better there, Stephen.
All right, Ira, a couple questions.
Sometimes you got to pull the trigger, Steve.
A couple of questions here on your anniversary at JoeBucksFan.com. We will have...
Let's talk about happier thoughts
we'll,
over there,
we'll
Steve.
Have Riesling and raisins, raisins and beet salad and cheerleaders at World Headquarters later this week to celebrate properly. But Ira, now here's a question for you. Do you think your story prompted action on behalf of the Packers and the Jets to get a deal done? Because that happens a lot. Do you think if you don't write your story, maybe they smooth things over and Favre is here?
And if I don't write it as definitively as I wrote it.
Yeah, or yeah, let's say you don't write it, you know, because, hey, I'm not sure, I don't want to touch it. You think maybe that gives Gruden and Favre more time to build the coalition that it takes to get some of these deals done?
It's possible. But ultimately, as Lee pointed out, here's Ted Thompson's chance to get him out of the conference, Lee. Get, you know, keep him far away from Green Bay. I think the Bucs were playing the Packers the following season, if I'm not... in fact, they did play him well in 08. They definitely played him in 09. I don't remember about 08. But, of course, 09 was Josh Freeman, the Josh yeah. Freeman victory. I'm not sure about 08, but Ted Thompson did what he thought was in the best interest of the Packers. He doesn't care about... Brett Favre's wishes. He wants to do what's best for the Packers.
Well, also, another reason why he didn't want him to go to Tampa Bay, the Bucs were coming off a playoff year.
Yes.
The Packers were a playoff team as well, and Aaron Rodgers did a classic overtime shootout with Kurt Warner in Phoenix that year. So, I mean, Ted Thompson had every logical and common sense reason not to let him go to the Bucs.
Steve, let's talk about my year with Joe Bucs fan. From my perspective, and then we'll get yours, I don't have a lot of complaints. Of course, the salary could always be better.
It's an airing of grievances.
We know that. Freedom off the charts. You guys have never told me what to write. You guys have never killed a column. In fact, when I slap you guys around in print, often the next day you say, high five, Ira, good job.
Yeah.
Because I think it reinforces that I am an independent voice.
Yes.
But at the same time, I've never used the word stick carriers before when I was with the Tribune. I never addressed fans as much when I was with the Tribune. Hey, the name of the site is Joe Bucs Fan for a reason. It's a very tight affinity with the supporters, with the fan base. I'm really enjoying it. The podcasts are interesting. One day, Steve's going to figure out how to do a remote podcast.
Never.
Lee?
It won't be any good, Ira.
Won't be any good.
You're sitting on your
but,
couch.
You know, as long as you guys are willing to show up, I love it. You know, some people want it longer. Some people want it shorter, but from my perspective, it's been a win-win. Guys, look forward to year two.
Well, that was very professional of you, very
eloquent,
very eloquent and peaceful.
Touching.
You have a favorite moment, Ira, high point on your JoeBucksFan.com
career?
Oh, yeah,
there's no question about it. Now, Lee, you missed it.
Yeah.
You missed it.
I know where you're going.
But it was the night at Legends, draft night, first night of the draft. I'm telling you, I wore an Ed Morse hat. And I had it low across my forehead. And I didn't really want anybody to recognize me. I knew Isbitz was coming. I knew the commish was going to be there. Rock Riley was coming. But I didn't know which fans or whatever. And I walked in, Steve, literally. And I think I got there before you did. Because I was early. Pawlowski was already there. You were not. And Rock wasn't. But I walked in, literally. 50 or 100 fans start shouting my name. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And... what a night that was. And, of course, Steve and I were lucky enough to have intel on O.J. Howard, mm-hmm. that if he was there at 19, it was a very good chance. And here all these Buck fans are surrounding me. Oh, they got to take Dalvin Cook, Ira. This is at 7 o'clock at night. And I
well,
was
let's be a little fair. I think every Bucks fan probably knew that if O.J. Howard miraculously showed up at 19, there was a good chance
they
would
take
him.
But they weren't thinking that way.
They weren't thinking that way. They weren't in that mindset until the moment.
They were on the Dalvin Cook bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And when I said, well, I'll tell you this, if this guy Howard's there at 19, I think they're going to take him. And then when it happened, now 300 fans bowed down and said, you are the man, Kaufman. now, Steve and I had intel. Somehow I survived the car ride, in Phoenix. I got to mention it once a podcast, Lee. It's a must. But that's the highlight for me. That night, what a night that was. And there's video out there. There's audio. And we're probably going to do it again next year, right, Steve?
Well, speaking of the car, just because you like the car story so much, I thought it was kind of funny. So I went earlier this month to visit my mother for a birthday party, and I was going to stay there a while, and she knew I was going to be using her car when I was there. So Ira, she says to me, she says, well, Stephen, I expect you to be driving defensively. You know, I really want you to really try to drive defensively and not the way you usually do.
Smart woman.
And I'm like, well, what are you, listening to the podcast? When's the last time my mother criticized my driving? Turns out she got her lease was up, had a new lease. She was nervous. So
speaking of the mom, does she listen to the podcast, Mr.
Absolutely Rizzo? Not, no.
Absolutely not?
No chance.
Lee, I think all relatives of the three of us should be listening to this podcast. My brother's in Palm Springs. He's put on the podcast on occasion.
Well, Steve's mother comes from a generation that my dad was all same generation, and they're not comfortable with technology. So it would be fair to say, Steve, your mom has probably never listened to any kind of podcast.
Actually, I got to disagree with you. Yeah, my mom's very high tech.
Is she?
iPhone, yeah, computers, podcasts.
She's got an iPhone. And yeah. She's World War II generation.
Yep.
And you still have a flip phone.
Yep.
Is she a Buck fan, Steve?
Not a Bucks fan. Not much of a football fan, but she does watch on Sundays. She enjoys the drama of it all.
What do you make of that? His mother has an iPhone. He won't break down and get a smartphone. He's got a flip phone. 1990.
Well, Steve, from your perspective, may I have a couple of words from you about my first year? Whatever you want to say.
Is this a podcast performance review?
Whatever you want to say.
Oh, well, you know.
What were your expectations going in?
Expectations? I'll throw in that I'm also speaking for Lee, but Lee can speak for himself. I think you've delivered as expected. Look, more people listen to your podcast, Ira, than read your work in print. Now, I know that as an old school guy, that might drive you bananas. But more people are tuned into your podcast and click on your columns, and that's no knock on your columns. But it speaks to your personality, and we started this podcast with a question of why you're so popular, because people care what you have to say. That's why you're popular. You have all the credibility and the entertainment value, and I think that's shown through the podcasts, and the columns are great to read. For those who aren't reading, shame on you. Shame on you for not clicking on Ira's columns. And, I think we've gotten everything we looked for. Just, look, when you were out there doing your thing on radio, Tribune writing, Lee and I read your stuff, and we listened, and this is entertainment. This is theater. This is information. It's everything all wrapped up in one. So here you are, and then you get to express yourself, and I think the best is yet to come.
Mr. DeKemper?
He summed it up pretty well. You know, you're the complete package when it comes to information, history, you know, great history. You know, you have great sources, great stories, entertaining. There's a reason why you're on Russo's show every week, on Sarah's. Steve and I thought, my gosh, we get Ira. Of all people, Ira would be working for us. And I'll be honest with you, Steve and I thought, first off, I don't think either one of us envisioned the Tribune getting swallowed up by the Times and shut down. What we did envision was you being a victim of layoffs. I'm not saying we were looking forward to such a day, but we were ready and prepared to pounce if that day ever came.
Well, yeah, I've been bugging you for years, Ira, saying, oh, when the day comes, Ira, you got to keep that Hall of Fame vote. Got to come to JoeBucksFan.com. Come to
the Now, I spoke about my favorite day with Joe Bucks Fan. I'm going to tell you my lowest day. It happened. In Houston, Texas, in February, when I pitched John Lynch for the fourth time, the year that I really thought this was John Lynch, because besides LaDainian Tomlinson, it wasn't a great class of first-year guys. Mm-hmm. 18 is going to be tougher. But Tomlinson, you know, was the first ballot guy, and everybody knew that. And Lynch fell short. Why did he fall short? I'm going to continue to say that Brian Dawkins chipped away some of his support. I'm going to stick by that. They don't give us the final tally. I will say this. I think Lynch got more votes than Brian Dawkins. But in the end, it wasn't enough. And then Jason Taylor, the door was open for a Jason Taylor, who we didn't think was getting in
as a
first-year guy. I think Lynch is ahead of Dawkins. But I'm going to be in there in Minneapolis for the fifth time taking a swing. I'm going to have to change the pitch, which I think is the smart thing to do. You can't keep hitting people over the head with the same stuff. So, look, Steve makes some good points about hey, focus a little bit more on Lynch's years in Denver. It all counts. Different scheme, different players. Ring of Honor in Denver. I only played 4 years there. So that was my low point, because he made the first cut, Lee, just like the year before. So from 15th to 10, he's still alive. So is Dawkins. And then after a nail-biting another 10, 15 minutes when they count up the ballots, when they cut from 10 to 5, He didn't make it. He didn't make it. And
you were devastated. You were devastated.
I'll tell you what. Everybody started to get up, you know, a couple minutes later. I didn't get up.
Wow.
I stood with my head bowed. Now, having said that, the guy from Philly, who's a good man,
sure.
he took a beating when he got back to Philly. They can't believe Ryan Dawkins isn't in. So Buck fans have to understand that, and Steve always points out, maximum of 5 out of 15. 10 guys are going home disappointed every year. But John Lynch keeps going home disappointed, and I got to do better.
You should get another shot this year, right the wrong, and one hell of a party it will be if you bring home Lynch.
I got a political analogy for you with that, Lynch and Dawkins sort of canceling each other out. And then Jason Taylor swoops in. You'll like this, Steve. Ross Perot versus George H. Bush. Perot pulled just enough votes away from Clinton swoops in.
That's not bad.
And here's a better one for you. But this, nobody was around for this. Teddy Roosevelt.
Ira was around for that.
I was Teddy
Wait
Roosevelt.
Wait a minute. He's the guy that said speak softly and carry a big
Yeah, that's where the original.
Yeah, that's right.
William Howard Taft, Woodrow Wilson. Teddy Roosevelt pulled enough votes away from Taft. Wilson squeezed in.
Wilson swooped in.
Yep.
All right, Taft.
Now, Steve, I'll be curious our readers and our listeners to give some comments about my first year with Joe Bucks. Man, a little constructive criticism never hurts. Steven?
Sure. Well, we've got some questions from fans because, you know, you're about the fans, man of the people. You explained to us that one reason you're popular is because you press the flesh. So I have them all printed out here nice and pretty. But first, Ira, you know, we always ask for review.
Oh, I thought you were reaching in for an extra envelope over there.
No.
Steven?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
We always ask for comments on iTunes. So many of our listeners are on iTunes as well as at Podbean. And we've had some fun comments on iTunes. Let me read you one here, Ira.
All right.
You ready for this? This is from somebody calls himself Wine. Ira, I wanted to let you know you have at least one fan who appreciates that you drink Riesling wine. It's the grape experienced wine drinkers like yourself turn to after they've worked their way through all the house Cabernets and Merlots. Don't let the Joes tell you otherwise. By the way, what do they drink? I'm guessing either a slow gin fizz or an appletini.
That's outstanding.
Another one.
So another one. I'm a sophisticated drinker, Steve. I didn't even know it.
Exactly, yeah. Another commenter says, Ira and the Joes are on it. Great insight and, quote, sage wisdom, in quotes. Love the show. Can't wait for the next episode.
Who's that from?
They all have nicknames. This one's from Sergeant.
Might be my brother.
Sergeant Bofides. Another one, Ira, kind of fun. It just says, Custodian of Canton, the Sage of Tampa Bay. Go Irv. Keep up the great work, guys. You know, so it's a lot of fun on these comments.
Are people pissed off that I can't get Lynch in, or did I understand that it's a tough go?
Nobody really complains about that. I mean, they get it. It's a tough go. It's not like safeties are pouring in there. I've never heard really straight negativity on that except from Scott Reynolds. But who listens to that guy anyway? Come on.
Boy, did I set you up for that.
Here's another one, Ira. All I have to say is don't stop making these podcasts. There's so much intriguing insight into my favorite team, and I appreciate the hell out of that. What you three do for the Bucks organization is absolutely great. You keep it real. You respect the team's business at the same time. That's what a real fan wants. Ira, I didn't know too much about you as a person before this podcast, but wow, you're a special man. And it goes on. These people love you, Ira. They love you.
You know, I told my brother not to send that, and he sends it anyway, Steven.
It's signed Muriel Berkowitz.
It's been a hell of a year. It's been a hell of a year.
It's been fun. I hope, I think you've taken advantage of being unleashed. I think you could even go.
You used to use that word all the time with me.
I think you've made it a nice breakaway from the traditional mainstream media.
And don't forget, Steve, I'm not used to writing columns. I've not been a column writer.
It shows.
Per se.
No, I'm teasing. You set yourself.
You hear that, DeKemper?
now, let me ask you a question.
Into that one.
I got to ask you, Ira, since we're celebrating your anniversary 1 year at JoeBucksFan.com, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You wouldn't be here without them. It's the bottom line for our listeners and readers who love
you
Ira.
You got them on board early, Steve. You did.
They present all of Ira's work. And Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.com, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com. Start your shopping search there. We're not telling you to buy everything. Everybody should buy a vehicle there. But you know what? Start your search there. You're going to be very impressed. Ed Morse is going to impress you. Now, Ira, I'm going to ask you a tough question. You may not want to answer this because I know you have a special place in your heart for the Tribune, Tampa Tribune, and all the years there. Lee and I spend time there, too. It's got a place for us as well. But looking back, seeing what you've done here at JoeBucksFan.com and all the opportunity and the resources the Trib had to maximize your personality, did they strike out on their Bucks coverage, not leveraging all this popularity that you could have been feeling?
From my perspective, they certainly did. Now, Lee, you may not be aware of this, but I believe my comrade, Mr. Cummings, and myself had an opportunity. You guys might not know this. Had an opportunity to do a morning show on 620.
Yeah.
And we never got the chance. Not only that, Steve, we were never told about it. It was an open and shut case by management saying basically, well, they can't possibly do their job for the Tribune if they're on radio from 6 to 9 in the morning. But we had a chance to expand our brand and put some money in our pocket.
Well, can I be specific about the management?
And we never got the chance, and I don't forget that.
Well, can I be specific when you refer to management? Joy and Chorus?
Take it as you will.
I heard it was Joy and Chorus.
I'm sure she ran it up people ahead of her, too.
I heard it was a done deal, and she put the kibosh on it. Because
we were never told about it, Steve. Never even told.
I had heard it was a done deal. 620 wanted you guys. You obviously wanted to do it, and I heard the sports editor put the kibosh on it. She said it was a conflict of interest, and it was, without question, one of the most short-sighted moves in the history of Tampa Bay journalism, because the Tribune, like the Times, probably still is, starving for subscribers. And that was a two-hour, if not a three-hour, free commercial for the Tribune.
And, Steve, this is what makes it worse. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this.
How does it get worse than they didn't even talk
to
you about it?
I'm about to tell you. Instead, the Trib worked out a deal with 1040.
Which has 20 listeners. Sorry, Rock, we love you.
Of which Roy and I didn't get paid. We didn't get a nickel. And we were obligated to go on a couple of times a week on 1040. That's a double shot right there. Double shot.
Yeah, they realized the error of their ways, but it was way too late.
You know, I love the freedom. You can't put a price on freedom. I'm glad you can't put a price on it, because for the price of what you guys are getting me for, it's unbelievable. But be that as it may, Stephen.
angling for a raise, Mr. Kaplan.
You know, that would be a beautiful way to celebrate a first-year anniversary.
What, a raise?
But, however, you have come across with more cash, so I can't complain.
So you're saying you got a raise, but you're going to tell everyone you didn't get a raise.
Well, you also sent me to the NFL meetings.
You also helped defray the
cost of the Super Bowl in Houston, of which I'm sure you'll do in Minneapolis too, Mr. DeKemper.
He's angling.
You sent me to the week one opener at Miami.
Yes.
Correct? So I got no big complaints except for that Cadillac, Steve. Keep working on that Cadillac.
Absolutely, Ira. We'll keep pounding away, working on the Cadillac. We'll see. I know Your Dodge Dart lease is running out. Your Gremlin. And we'll see. Yeah, I mean, for the Tribune to not talk to you and Roy, guys with 50 years experience.
Where's the respect for me and Cummings?
I mean, let's just say you probably had 50-plus years of experience at that time when this morning show was being considered. Call you into a room and say, guys, let's discuss this.
Is it workable?
Can we keep everything to fit our ethics? Are you guys interested? What do you think? You know, to not talk to you about it is criminal. And who got that show?
The
competition, which makes it even worse.
Yeah. And in doing that, other beat writers from the Times got involved with 620 and got paid for it as regular guests. So it conspired to be a terrible decision for the Trib. Now, that's not the reason the Trib went out of business, Steve.
No, but there's a reason the Trib went out of business, and that's Exhibit 8.
Yeah,
short-sighted.
Beyond.
Yeah, I mean, short-sightedness killed a lot of newspapers. But I think you know, being this your anniversary podcast, it's just a great example. I mean, they could have been doing all kinds of things with you on video, podcasts, and nothing like Olivia Stacey. But that wasn't the type of podcast that would have rippled through Bucks fandom like this one.
It was okay.
You know? We were clamoring for a little TV show on Channel 28 or something. I mean, a weekly, you know, Monday night little Bucks panel or something, and that never came either. So, yes,
and
with the
resources, you know, Steve and I were both working at the same time. We both had outside jobs. You know, I was working for the state of Florida. Steve had his jobs. We were basically doing it on the side at night. You guys had all these resources, And it was like, for example, and this may hack off a lot of people, but high school sports compared to the NFL, that's night and freaking day. Pull Nick Williams off the high school beat and just have him bang out three short 200-word posts on the Bucks every day. Unreal. And they talk about not seeing the forest for the trees. Just unreal. But Steve and I took advantage of that vacuum, and look what happened.
It's history. It's all history, Steve.
Yeah, all ancient history. And, you know, the media landscape keeps on changing. Hopefully, Ira, you know, we're not trying to hold you down here. Hopefully somebody nationally gets smart, throws 60.
What do you see? What do you boys see coming for the for Joe Bucks fan next couple of years?
You know,
down
you
the
really, honest to gosh, you don't know. Because one thing Steve and I have figured out with this website of ours, you know, what we thought was going to happen didn't. What we didn't expect to happen did. You know, at one point, Steve and I thought we would be the go-to source for all Tampa Bay major professional sports.
I see.
We found that to be polite, a waste of time.
So the Bucks are the game in town. The Bucks,
yeah,
are the
absolutely
game in town. Steve, did you imagine in 2008 that we'd be sitting here and you would be considered the go-to site for people in the know, even people in the building at one Buck place? Did you imagine that?
It's a weird question because I don't think I ever would sit around imagining such a thing, period. You know, I mean, I'm very much one year at a time. You know, it's nice to have big goals and thoughts, but who would have thought such a thing? Because I think this goes back to what Lee was saying about the Tribune and business in general. If I were to imagine in 08 that we'd be the leading authority on Bucks coverage, daily Bucks coverage, then I also would have imagined that some media outlet halfway there, say 2011, would have been smart enough to realize, hey, these guys are on the rise. We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest to quash them like a bug, or be smart enough to buy them out. But that never happened either.
And
so,
Lee, don't forget, Lee, in 2008, look who was covering the Bucks: the Orlando Sentinel.
That's
the
favorite.
The Lakeland Ledger.
Yes.
The Trib. Brainton
Herald.
The Times.
Sarasota,
absolutely.
That's a favorite subject of Steve's.
And they've fallen by the wayside.
Oh.
Fallen by the wayside.
They've all fallen out, and it's just changing media times. And I don't doubt that it'll change back, I think, at some point. When newspapers are gone and there's more online and people...
We'll see if ESPN keeps a full-time writer devoted
to
the Bucks.
I
think it's up in the air.
I hope for Jenna Sick they do. Her contract runs through this year, so she's safe this year. They got fireworks, don't they?
She's a diligent reporter. I hope for the best for her.
She works hard.
Yeah, look, I think as far as the big media covering the teams, I don't think they really need it. I mean, they can have people covering multiple teams and have some roving experts popping into cities for a week here and there. The ESPN beat writer, Jenna, does a nice job for what she does, but I can't imagine why ESPN would need it. I mean, look at Fox Sports, just laid off all their writers, and the CEO, former CEO, because he got axed too for different reasons, he basically said...
Very different reasons.
He basically said people aren't reading stuff, and video's more important. Video's more lucrative. We're out on all writers, period.
Two things real quick.
I hope you boys don't feel that way.
He wasn't accurate, but
right.
It's a mindset.
I can tell you why ESPN laid off a bunch of writers. I've seen a couple of different reports. I'll get to that in a second. But to give you an idea how things have changed, when Steve and I first started, and as you pointed out, one Buck place was hostile to us. Now, to this day, although not so much anymore, but to this day, if I see a guy making a comment on our site and it just looks odd, like, you know, this guy's got some kind of agenda, just something looks weird about a comment, and he's commenting a lot, I'll run his IP address, meaning I can figure out what computer this guy's using, where he's typing from. Well, there was one guy just kept hounding on Steve and I. Every story we wrote, we were wrong.
Way back when?
Yeah, like 2009, 2010. Every story, Steve and I mean, every story, this guy, like, you don't know what you're talking about, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. Steve and I could have wrote the Sun Sets in the West. You dumb SOBs, you know nothing about science, blah, blah, blah. And so I decided to run the IP address. You know what it came back as? Buccaneers.com. And then Steve answered the guy once, and he said, Steve's answer to this guy, you have a very interesting employer. You wouldn't want to get that out in the public, would you? He never commented again. He vanished.
All right, Ira, going back to the fans, rapid-fire answers, Ira. Rapid-fire, that's the key. We solicited some questions for a podcast mid-July. Here we go.
Who's it from, my
All
man?
All right, this comes from John Garvey, better known as Garv. Can the Bucks make the playoffs without Jameis taking another step up? A lot of pressure on a 23-year-old.
Answer is no. I think it's part and parcel of the reason people think the Bucks can make the playoffs and possibly win the division is that Winston is going to take a significant jump between years 2 and 3. If he does not, Lee, I don't think they make the playoffs.
I'm going to rapid fire to you, so burn through these. They're all for you, Ira. Jeremy Barley writes, who do you think will be the Bucks' return man on punts? Will they stick with Humphreys? Will they plug in DeSean Jackson now and then for a big play possibility?
I could see Jackson on occasion be a spot on guy. Humphreys is sure-handed, Lee, but he's not going to break one for 40 yards. He'll get you a consistent 9 yards per return. If the Buck offense is as good as Buck fans think it will be, I don't think Cutter's going to lose sleep about punt returns. I think I'll stick with Humphreys.
Stick with Humphreys, okay. All right, Ira, this one goes from Suds Khan. What do you expect to be the main focus of the offense against the Finns? Wide receivers, tight ends, running game?
I think it's going to start right off the bat with that two tight end offense. I think they can't wait to get Howard involved. They know what Brait can do. I think Cutter feels with a two tight end alignment, he has some control over what the defensive scheme is going to be, and he can game plan for that. I think it's going to be tight end heavy right from the start.
All right, Ira, this one comes from Nicole Riley. Nicole Riley says, Ira, you look so sexy in your Ed Morris gear. Can you send me a picture?
Now let's say right off the bat right, that that's a plant. That's a plant.
I'm just kidding. I had to go there. I had to. We were getting
that
too.
That might be Nick. I don't know about Nicole.
We were getting too serious there. Okay. This one comes from JRO. Writes, what is the Bucks' most glaring need that can still be addressed this offseason? Most glaring need that can still be addressed this offseason? Great question. And Lee and I think we might chime in on that one.
All right. I'm going to say, with all due respect to George Johnson and Jaquez Smith and group, if an edge rusher shakes free in early September and the guy has proven that he's got a little juice left, but a team is strapped from a salary cap standpoint, I'm looking for another pass rusher. I can't get enough pass rushers. What do you want to say about that?
Well, I'd say to that, Ira, good pass rushers don't shake free. Unless there's like a fight in practice.
The Bucks shook Michael Bennett free, gentlemen.
Yeah, they shook him free, all right.
And it took him 2 years to be a good pass, 2-3 years to be a good pass.
Are you going to say running back? What are you going to say?
Well, the guy's talking about this season.
Well, I'm saying, are you going to say running back? what?
Most glaring need that can still be addressed. Maybe if there's a really good left tackle that gets cut, you know, maybe I don't know where all the left tackles were drafted.
Well,
off the
guy's
top
going to be
a glaring need.
He's going to be a backup. You're not talking about replacing Donovan Smith, are you?
No, I'm talking about...
That's heresy.
No. That's not a glaring need. Glaring need, I guess, would have to be running back. If a number one running back falls off somehow, you know, Lee's referenced previously...
Matt Forte?
Potentially Matt Forte in a trade, but if he just fell off or got cut, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. 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 That would mean the end of, you would think, Doug Martin. You would think.
Oh.
Yeah.
If they get Matt Forte, it means Martin's not coming back. It's that simple. They're not going to play games with
You're
Forte.
Right. You're right.
Lee, what would you say to that? Glaring need that could still be addressed this offseason?
Yeah, I think we just addressed it. The running back. Now, pass rusher, yeah, it's a glaring need. And you know, Steve and I are pretty much, we agree with Noah Spencer. We love the guy. We like his passion, his heart. Got to see some results. And with that shoulder, I'm not saying he's not going to be a stud, but that shoulder injury gives me pause. But then again, how often is a Michael Bennett type let go like
that,
the Bucks did?
That position gives me agita. It just gives me a little agita. That's because of the Riesling.
Now, I think I know what that is. I always thought that I have a decent vocabulary. I knew you were better than me. I can't hang with you, dude. I can't hang. You are wordsmith. Does that mean bile? Basically, what you just said?
Heartburn.
Okay.
You know,
okay. My dad used to say agita all the time. Yeah, I got agita.
Especially
you know.
When he's looking at you. Yeah. hey, are we done, Steven?
We're almost done, Ira.
Well, at least I knew what bile was.
There you go.
And I'll say this. Strong side linebacker. After the Bucks get a look at those guys, Devontae Bond, Adarius Glanton, after they get a look at those guys.
How's Beckwith's knee, you know.
If Beckwith even plays in the preseason. After they look at those guys, strong side linebacker could become a glaring need by opening day. And
but by definition, it's not a priority position.
It's a priority if you have a stinky player in there. So that's the point. Could be a glaring need. All right, Ira. We're going to move over to Outlaw. Asks,
Outlaw's awesome.
Are you going to wear that stick carrier shirt on the sidelines August 5th? If not, what's stopping you?
That's a tough one. I'm wrestling with that one. I am wrestling with it. I think I'm more inclined to go with Ed Morse. We got to just pick the color. I don't think I'm going to wear a stick carrier shirt because, look, I support the stick carriers. But I can't call myself a stick carrier.
You're a credentialed journalist.
Because I have to maintain my independence. But I know where they're coming from. I like these guys. But to answer your question, I don't think I'm going to wear a stick carrier shirt.
Interesting, Ira.
Outlaw gives us a lot of love on Pulowski's podcast, and I appreciate that.
Interesting,
Ira. The commish certainly will.
So do you feel like you could sort of take off the day from the media, like not attend practice as a media guy that day, wear your stick carrier shirt with the stick carriers?
Well, what am I, Clark Kent, changing into a cape?
No, you'll be spotted, Ira.
No, you're attending. You're attending practice in your stick carrier shirt, and then you write a column about the experience.
No, because then the players and Cutter and Light and everybody's looking at me as a stick carrier.
Well, if you did that incognito, that's a great story. That ain't going to happen because the stick carrier's Ira.
What do you want me to wear, a Jason mask over there, Steven?
We all have our own personal ethics. Ira, as a columnist, do you feel it's okay to root for the Bucks and be a stick carrier?
I'll say this. This is a fair question. I'll say this. It's in my interest. And the three of ours, interest for the Bucks to do well.
Absolutely.
That's as far as I'll go. It's in our interest.
Are you a stick carrier, Ira?
No, but I'm in support
of the kindred
movement. Kindred spirit. See, you do know. You do have good words there. Man, you give me some tough ones here, Steven. My anniversary. You're supposed to be treating me with kid gloves.
It's the people. It's the people, Ira. It's
always
the people.
Goes back to the people.
Yeah. All right, Port Richie Lou asks, Ira, who will be the starting running back opening day? Will they release Doug Martin before that and bring in a vet? What say you, Irv?
Jacquees Rogers, yes and yes. Will they release Doug Martin? Yes. And will they bring in a veteran? Yes.
Interesting.
All right. That's from the people, Ira. It's a long anniversary podcast. We went really long, but your anniversary deserves it.
You ended it in grand style with Port Richie Lou. What better way to end it?
It's another great year of doing what we do, our special brand of nonsense and Bucks coverage.
We got to keep it fun, and it's been fun.
Yeah, I still see you as a stick carrier, Ira. You're such an inspirational figure to the stick carriers. And
I'm getting there.
You're getting there. I got it.
I'm getting it. It's like the 76ers. It's a process.
You're drawing new lines. You know, the canvas is still open.
You know, look, I got a lot of years of journalism from an ivory tower to get over. You know, my beautiful Brooklyn College, New York University.
NYU, you went to?
NYU as a graduate.
I didn't know that.
I never got my master's. I did all the work. All I needed to do was write a dissertation. But by that time, I already had a job at UPI in New York in the Daily News building with that globe, that Superman globe. And I said, to hell with it. I don't need a dissertation. And you know what? If I had a master's right now, who knows? Maybe I'd be a Pewter Report.
All
and
right.
That's the way to end it.
On that note, all right, get out of here, Ira.